What a difference a day makes. 24 little hours. I'll spare you the singing. It's the business news headlines for Tuesday, the 20th day of July. Thanks, everybody, for being with us again. In other news, we've got some space news to share with you. Millions of dollars have been spent dealing with the opioid crisis, and now states and cities may get some money back. You think food costs are high? Hang on, says one grocer. Yet another student loan company calls it quits. GM gets more chips. The Wall Street Report, we've got that, and more athletes at the Olympics test positive for COVID-19. We've got the business news coming your way next.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Tarot International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at ntpda.com. And by Oasis, a paychex company devoted to HR solutions for business. Find them at oasisadvantage.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to this, the Tuesday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and yeah, you can follow us on Twitter. You can find us at IOB_NewsHour. We tweet about the markets, what's going on all day, all night long. On Twitter, it is at IOB_NewsHour.
What a difference a day made. 24 little hours.
Thank you, Diana Washington. And that's exactly what happened after the Dow fell by the most points it had since October of last year. Investors today bought on the dip and propelled the three major indexes back to nearly even. As a matter of fact, the NASDAQ was above what it closed at yesterday. I'll share those numbers with you in just a bit. Jeff Bezos, the richest person on the planet, blasted off, touched the edge of space, and returned safely to Earth, and said he hopes the 10-minute adventure will kickstart an expansive new era for human space travel. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that Tuesday's spaceflight was Blue Origin's first with passengers on board, a group that included the world's wealthiest person. Mr. Bezos' net worth amounts to more than $200 billion, according to Bloomberg, as well as the oldest ever space traveler, 82-year-old aviator Wally Funk, and the youngest 18-year-old student Oliver Damian. Mark Bezos, the co-founder of private equity firm High Post Capital, and Jeff Bezos' youngest brother, was also on the trip. The company had hoped to start tourist flights earlier this year, according to Mr. Bezos' past comments, but ferrying the four passengers to an altitude of more than 62 miles and getting them back to Earth on the ship Blue Origin had, well, demonstrated some of the engineering and rocketry prowess it had been developing. In an interview Monday with CNN, Mr. Bezos said that Tuesday's launch will help Blue Origin make space trips more like commercial airline flights. At the top of a news conference after his successful flight into the edge of space, billionaire Jeff Bezos thanked Amazon customers and employees at the company he founded, saying, quote, "You guys paid for all of this," end quote. Now, that comment caused Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to respond on Twitter, saying to Bezos, quote, "Yes, Amazon workers did pay for this with lower wages, union busting, a frenzied and inhumane workplace, and delivery drivers not having health insurance during a pandemic," end quote. States and cities across the U.S. have spent millions of dollars treating their citizens during the opioid crisis, and now they are on the cusp of getting some money back. The New York Times is reporting that three of the largest pharmaceutical distributors and Johnson & Johnson are on the verge of a $26 billion deal with states and municipalities that would settle thousands of lawsuits over their role in the opioid epidemic and pay for addiction and prevention services nationwide. An agreement could be announced this week, but several people with knowledge of the talks cautioned that the deal could still fall apart or have significant changes. The intensifying negotiations, which began more than 2 years ago, arrive as trials bear down on the defendants and addiction and overdose rates continue to mount during the pandemic. Brokered by a bipartisan group of about 13 states' attorneys general and lawyers for local governments, the deal still requires several steps before formal agreement. The companies are the pharmaceutical giant Johnson & Johnson and the country's major medical distributors, Cardinal Health, McKesson, and AmerisourceBergen. So if you think food prices are high today, a New York City grocery store chain says, hang on, you ain't seen nothing yet. Business Insider is reporting that a possible 10 to 14% spike in food prices by October is causing some supermarket chains to already raise prices, and restaurants are following suit. John Kissimidatis, who owns the supermarket chain Grisidatis, told Fox Business that prices would rise, but didn't say whether he was talking about suppliers' prices or the prices supermarket chains charge customers. Prices are rising because of falling production, stemming in part from a lack of available workers and supply chain problems as shipping delays coupled with soaring consumer demand intensifies. The price of beef rose by 4.5% in June compared to May, eggs by 3.1%, and pork by 3.1%, that according to data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And if we look further back, June beef and veal cost 13.2% more than in February of 2020, and pork was up by 11.4% over last year's prices. Well, yet another student loan company has decided to throw in the towel, and that leaves close to 10 million people wondering about what comes next. Business Insider is reporting that following the Pennsylvania Higher Education Assistance Agency announcing 2 weeks ago it would not extend its federal contract to service student loans, another student loan company has followed suit, bringing the total number of borrowers who still have to switch servicers to nearly 10 million. Granite State Management and Resources, a nonprofit student loan company that holds 1.3 million borrower accounts, notified the Education Department that it would not seek renewal of its federal contract to service student loans after December 31st. The department is planning to lift the pause on student loan payments in October. They will now be tasked with transitioning those borrowers to a new servicer on top of the 8.5 million borrowers who previously were under the Pennsylvania Loan Company. All right, we're talking chips again. General Motors shares rose on Tuesday as Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo said U.S. automakers are beginning to get more semiconductors after a shortage had dented their production. The Street is reporting that Raimondo organized meetings of semiconductor makers, their suppliers, and their customers, including automakers. GM finished the day up $1.84, or $56.02 a share. The stock has firmed 2% in the past 6 months during the chip shortage. Meanwhile, Ford traded at $13.94, up by nearly 5% on the day. The Dearborn, Michigan vehicle giant has surged 38% over the past 6 months, on optimism that its fortunes are rebounding. Speaking of Wall Street,
what a difference a day made. 24 little hours.
Thank you, Diana Washington, who, by the way, was a very popular singer and piano player from the 1950s. She was born in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, back in 1924 and died in Detroit, December of 1963. See what you learn here? And yes, what a difference the past 24 hours have been on Wall Street. Today, the Dow climbed back 549 points to close at 34,511, while the NASDAQ outperformed, gaining 223 points to end the trade at 14,498, and the S&P 500 was up by 64 points to finish at 4,323. Upbeat earnings reports and revived economic optimism fueled the rally, and the NASDAQ gained much more than it lost just yesterday. It was a call to buy on the dip, and investors were all in seeking bargains. Meanwhile, economically sensitive small caps and transports outperformed the broader market. Mounting concerns over the Delta variant have worried investors worldwide, but the word today is that worldwide vaccination efforts are gathering steam. And finally, there is this. The Tokyo Olympics are moving forward, even as more athletes test positive for COVID-19, and the city is experiencing surges. Two alternates to the world-dominant U.S. women's gymnastics team have quarantined in Japan, with one testing positive for COVID-19 ahead of the game's opening on Friday. Dozens of other athletes and staff have also tested positive, including U.S. tennis star Coco Gauff, who earlier withdrew from the games. The cases are fanning fears that the event could become a super spreader, and organizers say they are not ruling out a last-minute cancellation of the games as Japan grapples with a nationwide surge in coronavirus infections. Meanwhile, several more Japanese sponsors of the games have decided not to run ads during the event. Toyota, NEC, and others have decided it was not in good form to advertise during the pandemic and risk the wrath of people who are protesting the event. In the end, it looks like this will be a bust for Japan, reaching into the billions of dollars of lost income. All right, that's a wrap for today's business news headlines. Thanks so very much for joining us, for all of us that put this together each day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.